This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day in the United States. It is Trader Nick with the latest from the global markets. Nick, good afternoon from London and good morning to you.
Good morning, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
It's a busy day today. We've already had some important inflation figures out of the UK. A bit later on, we're going to hear from Kevin Warsh with his FOMC press conference statement. That should be absolutely fascinating. But I wanted to ask you first about these CPI numbers, Nick, here on this side of the Atlantic, because we were expecting a much higher number of 3%, but it's come in at 2.8%, which with the Bank of England meeting tomorrow, where they'll announce the latest on interest rates, looks to be a signal that we won't actually get a rate rise as some had been expecting.
Yeah, that's right. And 2.8% year over year for the UK inflation figure. Not too bad, Johnny, to see in the twos inflation. Meanwhile, you know, US over in the fours, definitely a welcomed sigh of relief, I think, for some who had been bracing for impact with a round of maybe higher prices due to all of the energy shocks that we're seeing, primarily due to the situation in the Middle East. Though worth mentioning, even prior to the war starting, there was a uptick happening in inflation. So this war certainly came at a time that was a little bit fragile, I guess. We had started to see central banks see overall progress on inflation, but it was sticky and problematic. And now, with the war and the uncertainty around the Strait of Hormuz, prices had surged across not just the UK, not just the US, but globally. Gas prices higher everywhere certainly is a inflationary fear. Well, the 2.8% figure out of the UK CPI number this morning, certainly welcomed. Core CPI was also light, which to compare things over on the US side of things, CPI year over year came in pretty much exactly in line with expectations. Though the core CPI, arguably the very important part of this, the US came in just slightly softer as well. So we're seeing inflation, we're not seeing as much or exceeding what we had feared. And I think that the market can be a little bit happy in the short term about that. We're talking just prior to recording, talking about the Bank of England, of course. We have the Fed today, but we have the Bank of England tomorrow. And so the question, you know, was circling, are we going to get some rate hikes in the UK? We did see the ECB raise rates. So, you know, across the pond there, of course, raising rates does not seem out of the question for central banks right around now with the shock to supply that we've seen in the Middle East. So today's inflation report, definitely welcomed. A quick look at the British pound against the dollar. It's down slightly today, not a huge move lower, but at the same time, still, the British pound against most other currencies is a little weak today following what looks to be, like we reported, a softer inflation report and likely a less urgency to hike interest rates to fight inflation. And interestingly, just a bit of a side note in terms of for the listeners who are very focused in on, you know, U.S. data, the U.K.'s central bank, the Bank of England, actually has a singular mandate where the Fed has two. So the dual mandate of the Federal Reserve is maximum employment and stable prices. Interestingly, the Bank of England's mandate is first and foremost to fight inflation. And so, you know, these rises in energy prices. Now, of course, they obviously want growth and jobs to also be secure, but inflation is a predominant first and foremost thing that the Bank of England aims to fight against. Of course, inflation is one of those things. It's sort of like cat out of the bag. Once it's out and about, it is very hard to get back in the bag, especially when it is related to oil shocks due to some sort of geopolitical event.
And here, of course, we have the specter of stagflation, which is high prices and low growth, which is a particular worry in the UK. And I'm wondering, these figures that we saw earlier today, I mean, they are encouraging, but are the prices actually reflecting the inflation caused by the closure of the Strait of Hormuz quite yet? Because it does take time. It can take several months for the increased costs paid by farmers, processors, manufacturers, and so on to filter into raised prices at the tills are going to start really biting later on in the year where we may see a rise in rates.
That's actually a really interesting point too, Johnny, because what you're kind of highlighting there too is the producer side of inflation, right? We're talking about the CPI here, but there was also reported this morning the producer price inputs and or producer price index input and output, the way they do it in the UK. And the inputs for PPI were softer than expected for the prior month. Month over month grew just 0.2% versus 0.5% expected. However, the previous number was actually revised up from 2.4% up to 2.6%. And on a month over month basis, that is pretty meaningful. So I think that to your point, is there a lag effect? Yes. However, what is kind of a bright spot here is that the producer price index, which is sort of the way I've heard it expressed, is about 2 months ahead of the consumers, right? Oftentimes you get the producers, as you're pointing out, farmers, manufacturers, shipping, all the different things, they see those price rises very quickly because they're on the front facing of the oil prices. Of course, consumers feel it at the gas pump, but at a wholesale level, producers tend to feel it very quickly. So we are seeing some positive on that side, the producer price index coming in lower than expected with a bit of revisions higher to the previous number. So there is certainly some energy-based inflation coming into the picture. And I think this is impactful, not just for the UK, because again, this is a global phenomenon, right? This Strait of Hormuz closure impacts all countries to some extent, especially Europe and Southeast Asia, which get a lot of their energy from this part of the world. So I think that the other thing, and this leads in nicely to our next conversation, Johnny, about what's coming down the pipeline on Friday. Just a bit of a headline on that, right? We're waiting on the whole agreement between US and Iran. But this morning, 2 hours and 45 minutes ago at the time of recording this, Trump put out a note that the MOU is not final, Memorandum of Understanding. If I don't like the agreement, we will go back to dropping bombs, which of course, this is a crazy headline to get from the president, but perhaps not so crazy in comparison to the last few months. We have seen many, you know, strong words in all directions in regards to this conflict.
It's almost the new normal, isn't it, Nick? One moment we think there's going to be an agreement, and then either side said, no, it's off, it's never going to happen. And then suddenly things change within another hour. But I mean, this is, I suppose, the closest we've got to what looks like the end of this war, which has been going on for over 3 months now. And it is vital, isn't it, that for the global economy, that things actually become stable.
That's right. And I guess one proof of your theory there with getting the closest we have been, to look no further than the oil price. The oil price is the lowest it's been since we have effectively started this whole situation. Granted, I guess it has been lower on the initial onset, but we are very close to getting back near pre-war levels in U.S. oil, at least. Brent crude also making a substantial move lower and getting back towards those pre-war levels. There is a side of me, though, Johnny, that just because we've been reporting this nearly every day, we have seen so many back and forth scenarios here where one moment it looks good and then we're back to the other. There is still very much the distinct possibility that something does not get agreed upon and that we resolve back to a stalemate. I think that is not something I am willing to you know, say confidently is going to happen, but we've seen it enough times at this point, you have to draw a little bit of skepticism. There's one variable here that is also a little tricky, which is on the Iranian side. Of course, the conflict between Israel and Hezbollah is still ongoing. And the Iranians have said many times that's something that they are very uncomfortable with signing a deal until there is a ceasefire, a lasting, you know, cessation, I guess, of what's going on there. Does that become part of the final agreement? Is that a contingency that must be dealt with? And I think the challenge there is that we've also heard from the leadership in the U.S. and Israel that they are two unique parties. They're not going to necessarily have the same, you know, one can't control the other. At least that's what we're hearing. So is there going to be some stickiness there where we need to see complete cooperation on all sides in all parties, even, you know, counterparties or other pieces of this puzzle in order to have a end of the war and an open of the strait? Those are sorts of things that, you know, we have seen it many times come down to the wire and something changes. So we have yet again another deadline here. All eyes will be on in the coming days.
And oil prices have been at a three-month low today. A barrel of Brent crude was trading at one point at $78 this morning. That is just $6 above pre-war levels, all built around hopes for peace in the Middle East. So this is going to run and run. I wanted to also ask you about tonight's statement by new Federal Reserve Chief Kevin Warsh. Should make interesting reading, hearing. What do you make of it?
Yes, it will definitely be interesting. It's his first press conference as standing Fed chair, which has a lot of pent-up energy around it, right? Are we going to get some confirmation that the goal is to cut rates sooner rather than later? Are we going to get a rhetoric that, you know, the leadership at the Fed is very poised to cut rates quickly? Or is there going to be a little bit more, you know, let's take it slow, let's deal with this Middle East situation in terms of what we can do to keep inflation at bay before ultimately that becomes our goal to lower rates when we can? And that's, again, that's a very, very, we know generally the rhetoric of Kevin Warsh, which is perceived to be more on the dovish side than Powell. But the question becomes, you know, does the market test the new Fed chair? We have heard this many times and seen this many times with past Fed chairs. The market seems to give a check or a test to the new Fed chair to see what they'll do in certain circumstances. How would Kevin Warsh react if, you know, bond yields continue to rapidly rise, if the Strait of Hormuz closure remains an ongoing problem, if these sorts of dynamics test the Fed chair, quote unquote? That's where things might get very interesting. So today we'll get the initial commentary from him, see what he has to say about this, and it should be very interesting. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow. We can cover a little bit more summaries of what's been said.
Nick, thanks for joining us today. We'll speak to you again tomorrow. Have a great evening.
Thanks, Shawnee. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.